Welcome to the Songwriter's Diary. On this episode, I'm speaking to Robert Westall. Robert is a director of Naked Accounting. Naked Accounting is based in the heart of Tamaki Makaurau. Naked Accounting is an accounting firm providing accounting and business services for artists, small medium businesses, startups, and individuals. Thank you for joining me today, Robert.
Thank you.
Please tell us what you do and how you do it.
So we are an accounting firm that was set up maybe 5 years ago. And a big part of what we do is supporting and helping artists. And right from the start, we decided that should be built into our model. So for the last 3-4 years, we've been offering discounts and incentives to support artists. That really comes from me and the other people in our team who have lots of connections with music and visual artists. Mm. And really, when we started it, we sat down and we discussed what we wanted Naked Accounting to look like. And the main thing was really to be generous in the model and be able to provide services that support and help people so that they can actually go and do what they do best, which is be creative and produce art or music.
How many people are on your team?
So at the moment, 6 of us in total. Yeah.
It's nice working in a small team.
Yeah, it's really good. And we've got a really strong team. And I'm very fortunate in that way. And I think for any business to work, having a strong team is probably the most important aspect, because my skills are probably 1/10 of what we need for the business to work. And fortunately, we've got lots of people at Naked who are complementary to my skill set and other people's skill sets, meaning that it somehow works.
Yeah. I always think of teams as bands.
Yeah.
Like there's a singer, there's a drummer, there's a guitarist, and you just work well together and you sort of pull each other when the other falls, or, you know, when someone forgets the line or the music, the other person sort of comes in and does a solo. So I sort of see teams in that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone has their own instrument and their own tools that they're stronger, you know. And I think for any business to succeed, you need to have those complementary skills, and you need to be able to talk to different people in different ways and different kind of communicators. There's various different things that you definitely need in a team.
I'll just put it out there. I know nothing about accounting. The only thing I probably have done is filed my tax forms, but that's about it. I know nothing else. And so when I saw your Instagram page, I thought it would be great to have you on the podcast to just give us some information for other musicians and other artists to hear about what you do, and also just, yeah, provide us with some information, because most of us have no clue what we're doing when it comes to accounting and money.
Yeah. So I think to start off with, accounting is almost like a language, and there's a lot of jargon. And if you were to go on the IRD website and you kind of look at how to file your taxes, there's a lot of terminology that may seem quite daunting and confusing, but actually it is almost like a language. That, and behind there, a lot of accounting is just common sense. So quite often, I imagine my job and Naked's job is really to translate that jargon that makes sense for more people, and help them really understand what they need to do and what their obligations are to meet tax, for example. But really, the numbers aspect, a lot of people think it's just us sitting in a room with calculators, but quite often it's interpreting what those numbers mean and explaining how that is beneficial to them, or how they should be focusing on this portion of their business or this portion of their practice, and where they can save costs or what they should be doing. So a lot of what we actually end up doing is So translating those numbers and translating the language of accounting so that people who don't have any understanding or have little understanding are able to make really good decisions and obviously meet their obligations as well.
Yeah. Are you able to talk a little bit about what you mean by obligations?
So, I mean, a key aspect to accounting is, of course, tax. And I don't know who said it, but someone did say the only thing certain in life is taxes. And it's true. We all get taxed and there's no way to avoid it. If you're making money, chances are you're going to have to pay tax. So that's the key obligation of almost anyone who's making any money is to ensure that they are communicating to IRD how much money they're making and that they're paying their tax bill.
Mm. So, for example, say you have an artist that's selling their paintings, for example, at the market. What I fail to understand sometimes is, obviously they'll pay you in cash, right? At the market. How does IRD know what's coming in? And
So we have a trust system in New Zealand where when you take money in cash, you're meant to then at the end of the year inform IRD that you've earned that money. So you're meant to record it, keep a record of it, and then on your tax return, you have to declare that cash payment. So any income that you make, if you're doing business activity, any money that you make has to be recorded, kept in records, and then declared in your tax return, regardless of if it's cash or through FPOS or another form.
Mm. So for that to happen, do you have to have your business registered?
No. So an individual can undertake business activity basically under a sole trader structure. So again, if you're undertaking any kind of business activity as a individual and selling stuff at a market is a really good example. So say you sell secondhand goods at a market and you make $20,000 a year, it doesn't matter. Actually, it doesn't matter if you've made $1,000 a year or $20,000 a year, as long as it's been business activity, then you are a sole trader by default and you have to declare that income on your tax return.
So for artists that, you know, say have a gig once a month or once a year. So you're saying it's important for us to write everything down?
Yeah, that's an interesting point because the IRD makes a distinction between who is doing a hobby and who is in business. So if you're doing a show once a year and your intention isn't to make a profit, your intention is just to perform, then that could be considered a hobby. Now, there's different measures of what is a hobby and what is business that IRD use. For example, your intention, if you market and promote yourself, if you are how active you are, i.e. how many shows you're playing, things like that. So that is a very clear distinction that you need to understand before you go and do your tax return or before you start declaring your income, because A, you might not need to declare your income if it's basically a one-off, maybe, depending on the circumstances. But on the other side, if you're only doing one show and you're doing expenses throughout the entire year, i.e. you're buying equipment, you're buying musical instruments, you're buying strings, you're claiming your rent and all those other costs, you may be entitled to a tax refund. But at that point, you need to be very clear if it's a hobby or if it's a business. Because if it's a hobby or IRD consider it a hobby, they may ask you to pay that refund back. So I would say almost for any musician or any artist, that first conversation is, am I a hobbyist? Am I doing this for enjoyment only, or am I a business? And if you're a business, then yes, you could have to declare your income, but you can also claim your expenses. If you're a hobbyist, you don't declare your income, but you can't claim your expenses either.
Okay. So first step is you need to set your intentions, or that's the most important thing, the intentions of the service you're providing.
Yeah, you need to understand what you're doing and what your intention is. And you need to somehow be able to prove that in the documentation. And for example, a good example would be you're doing 15 shows a year and you're actively trying to do it to make some money to support your art or support your music. Then you need to probably get invoices, for example, from people, or maybe just write down ticket sales. If it's going through under the radar, they'll give you a summary, and you know, there's different ways. So you need some kind of documentation and proof that you're actually actively trying to make money.
So write everything down and keep records of everything.
Yeah. And that's the same with expenses. Any expense you're claiming, you must keep the receipt or the invoice. So if you buy I just bought a synth, I bought off TradeMe. If I was a musician, which I'm not, I don't claim to be, for IoT purposes, if I was, I would ask the person who I bought it off from IoT just to give me a little kind of receipt, or just detail how much, from TradeMe, sorry, to give me a receipt, so I can then prove it to IoT that I've paid for it and it's for my venture.
What are some of the most common mistakes that we creatives make that you see?
Probably that what I just talked about is not keeping your receipts and your invoices. And also, I would say not fully understanding what you can claim, and people don't fully claim, for example, their rent and their utilities if they use a part of their home for a studio. They don't claim
their phone.
Exactly. I was just looking around at your studio and thinking, oh, she could probably claim that. that's a perfect example of something that people don't know, that they probably need to go and investigate.
Yeah, I definitely would do that.
So basically, you make income. So say in this year you make $20,000, and then say you pay rent of $800 a week, and you use one room for it, and say that proportion is $200 of the rent. You can then reduce your income by that $200. So your taxable income at the end of, say you make $1,000 this week, your rent that you can claim is $200, your taxable income in the week will be $800.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just those basic things. That's, I think, where most people can benefit. Things like I say, buying equipment and stuff like that, of course, that reduces your tax, or reduces your taxable income.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go on the IRD website and just have a proper look. Because sometimes it can be so confusing.
Again, I think it's that kind of jargon aspect of accounting. It's the fact that you go on IRD and there's these big words, and they different types of taxes and all these different aspects that and you don't know if you're a sole trader or a business or a company or a trust. Some people so trust, you don't know if you're doing it as a non-for-profit, or you know, there's all these different aspects to it that I think can be quite daunting for people.
Yeah, you talked about some business structures. Are you able to tell us what they are, and
yeah,
the ones that creatives mostly use, or just anything about them?
I think, at least in my experience, the vast majority of creatives are sole traders. So as we spoke about earlier, the market example, it's people who are simply as themselves doing business activity. And therefore, your obligation is to claim and declare your income, your business income, on your IR3, which is the individual tax return. So that, I think, is primarily the structure that Creative 3C use. The advantage for that is if you are a part-time creative, so say you have another job where you're earning PAYE or earning, you know, your tax is deducted from your wages, then at the end of the year, if you've made a loss so on your business activity, i.e. your music, and that loss is $2,000, and you've made $40,000 in your job, then that $40,000 is reduced by the loss. So actually, you'll then end up being taxed on $38,000 rather than on $40,000. So I think that's probably the main advantage for, I guess, part-time creatives if you've got another job. Though on the other side of that is if you're making a lot of money from your music, say you're making $70,000 from your music a year, taxable income, and you're making $40,000 from your job, that 40 plus the 70 is added up to make 110,000. And that pushes you up into different tax brackets. So that's the disadvantage, is that actually, if you're making a lot of money, you pushed up the tax brackets and you can end up paying more tax than if you're doing the other common business structure, which is a company. So a company is a legal liability. It's almost like a completely separate, think of it as a completely separate person to you. It has its own tax return. It has to have its own books done. It's got what's called limited liability, which means that it is liable, not you. It gets a bit tricky, that, but so it's a completely separate entity, and it has a flat tax rate of 28%. So any income, any taxable income, is taxed at 28%. Whereas for your personal, yeah, there's a progressive tax rate. So if you're earning over a certain amount, you can be taxed at above 28%. So yeah, that's I guess the consideration that I would make if I was kind of looking at part-time work. So if I was a part-time musician, for example, I would be looking at what is my income from my job, how much am I making from this, and where is it putting me on the total income scale.
So what I got from that is you can be under the sole trader structure or the company structure, you can make the same income but pay different tax.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And there is different nuances and complications. Like, for example, you can move your income from your company as drawings to you as an individual. I think at that point, that would definitely be go talk to an accountant. So those sort of things. But there are ways you can work around it. But I would say that that is sort of that consideration. But I would say if you're a full-time musician and you're earning regular income, there are many advantages to being a company. So it all depends on the circumstances and the situation of the individual. Something I would think about is if you're, again, New Zealand on air grant money or grants from different people.
That was my next question, how funding comes into play.
Yeah, so at that point, you're basically claiming funding either as an individual or as a company. If you're receiving funding as an individual, it almost then gets mixed up with all your other money, and you need to make sure there's very clear, I guess, ring fencing around that money to ensure that it's not misused or moved around, and so that, because then at the end of your, at the end of the period, you might have to report on that funding and how it's been used and things like that. So I think that's worth considering. And I think at that point, I would recommend having at least a separate bank account to put it in and things like that. The other aspect is if you're a company, I don't think it's too much of an issue, but maybe some people would be less willing to fund a company than they would be an individual. So again, it swings and roundabouts, it all depends on the circumstances and situation of the individual.
Yeah. This is the most I've ever learned about this stuff.
Hopefully it's useful.
Yes, very useful. I was asking a couple of my artist friends this week what questions I should ask, and a lot of them were interested to know how the COVID subsidy, like what's the situation with the COVID subsidy? Is that something that is going to be, is it deductible next year?
No, because
probably not using my words.
It's not deductible. You have to claim, you have to declare it on your tax return as not as income. It's almost like a negative expense, which it increases or reduces your expenses in accounting terms. But when you do your tax return, your IR3, there's a line that will say, "Did you receive any government grants or wage subsidies?" And that's where you have to put it on. And it's really, for intents and purposes, income. So you will be taxed on it.
Oh, so that section that you just talked about, is that where, if you got funding, is that where you'd also put that?
No. So it's just government, i.e. wage subsidies and things like that. That is almost outside of your business activity, because it's not really, you receive a grant from New Zealand Air, that's part of your business activity, because it's helping you fund your projects, whereas the government grant is just really supporting you and supporting you to pay your employees if you've got employees, or so it's almost like a benefit. RSP, which is the resurgence payment, which is so there's two. There's the wage subsidy, and then there's RSP. And RSP is through IRD. And again, you have to pay tax on it as well. So that really needs to go through the books. And the other thing to note is that if you're GST registered, you don't pay GST on the wage subsidy, but you do on the RSP.
I've never heard of the RSP. I have no idea what that is.
It's very similar to the wage subsidy, but the wage subsidy is meant to support you paying your employees or pay yourself, whereas the RSP is to be used for, I guess, general expenses, capital expenses, and it shouldn't be moved over to the director or the owner of the organization. It should remain in the business to support with business expenses. And I would really suggest going and looking at it. It's on the IRD website. And the cutoff for the first four periods of it is 1st of December. So I would say go have a look as soon as possible. And the criteria is very similar to the wage subsidy, but with the wage subsidy, you need to show a drop of 40% of revenue. With the RSP, it's only 30%. Definitely worth going to have a look.
Have a look. I saw on your Instagram you shared that you're doing a musicians initiative. Are you able to tell us about that and when that ends and what that means?
Yeah, so like I said at the start, but right through the kind of history of Naked, we've really tried to take a a view on social responsibility and try to build that into our model. And over the last few years, we've been doing different initiatives. One is the artist discount. We also do an ongoing discount, which is the gender wage gap. So we give a discount to women clients, which is, I think it's about 9.7%. So there's a discount of 9.7%. We kind of wanted, we had a lot of discussion on if we should give a discount to women or we should charge men 9.7% more. But we thought it would be more, more digestible to give a discount to women than the other way around. And then really this lockdown, we sort of sat down and said, so many of our clients are musicians, so many of our team members are musicians, so many of our friends are musicians, and our sister company, Naked PR, is a music-focused PR agency. So we sort of said, how can we support musicians who really can't play shows? Bands can't get together because unless they're in a bubble, you know, you can't do anything together. How can we support them? And then we just got to the point where we said the only thing we can do is offer our services. So we decided we'd offer our services free.
That's amazing.
For anyone who really makes income from their music. So, I mean, it's really hard for us to help people who don't make income from their music because we provide accounting services, which is all about music, all about money. So we provided these services, and we're pretty broad with what we'll offer. We'll help as best as we can if it's within the realm of what we do. And we've also tried to be really generous and broad with who we offer it to. So like I say, it's almost anyone who is making money from their practice, their music practice. And that could be musician, band, music producers, managers. I've been talking to a couple of managers, all those kind of people. And again, just come and sort of talk to us. And as long as you're making money from music, you should meet the criteria. And that's going to the end of November.
Okay, so end of this month.
Yeah. The reason we did the musician initiative is I think businesses need to be very generous during this time, and they need to support the communities that support them. We have for a long time been a K-Road business, and much of our clients have sort of come from K-Road. And I think what gives K-Road is spirit and its vibrancy and its economy is the fact that there's so much music and art happening there. The businesses, the service providers, for example, the restaurants and us and other businesses on K-Road, shops and things, they benefit by the fact that people come to that street, that road, in order to go to shows, hear people play music, go to the galleries and see art. And therefore, I think there's this real need for businesses to support the people who have supported them. And I would say it's economically benefit to obviously the musicians, but it's also beneficial to you as a business because it shows your values and your generosity. So I'd do a call to all businesses who can, and lots of businesses are struggling, but all businesses who can, so really at this time, go and support the people who have supported you, go support the musicians, go and support the artists, and really build that goodwill, build that generosity, and really help people get through this time.
People forget that they consume art every day, like when you're walking, you're listening to music. When you're watching TV, you're consuming art. And I think sometimes people forget that these are people's actual jobs, their way of living.
Well, the other day I was looking at some numbers, and of course, and and I was looking at the GDP contribution or the economic contribution, and arts and culture, according to the Ministry of Heritage and Culture, contributes $800 million more per year to the economy than dairy. So not only is it advantageous to support musicians because of the kind of locality of it, but it's also economically viable because they contribute so much to the economy. And you're right, by consumption, by, for example, the venues that are set up to play, for bands to play, and all these different kind of economic activities are created by arts and culture. I don't know if that was before or after Amazon's Lord of the Rings, but but I do know culture and arts does contribute a significant amount to the economy, and therefore it's a win-win situation to support it.
Yeah. Are you able to tell us a little bit more about Naked PR?
Yeah, sure. So Naked PR is our sister company. We decided, because of course, why not start a business during a pandemic? We decided to start at the end of last year. So I think it's just a 1 year old now.
Yeah.
And it's a music focused, and it provides PR for, I would say, at the moment, kind of alternative music. So we've done a lot. Well, saying that, we've done the Black Seeds, which I wouldn't call alternative, but people like Luke Budder, we did Soft Plastics, Jasmine Mary, and different sort of, I guess, shooting radio and above kind of level of artists. So yeah, but it's definitely been different. It's very different from accounting, but it's been really enjoyable. And we've got this, I just can't say how important the team is. And the person who's heading Naked PR is someone called Zach Arnold, who used to be flying out and with BFM and RNZ. So he's got a lot of experience, and he's doing an amazing job at really promoting and supporting New Zealand musicians through different ways, and I think it's really good. And later, well, actually, it's just been announced. We've just announced that we are fronting and supporting the Student Radio Network Awards. So the SRN Awards, we call it, and that was announced, I think, last week. We've just announced it, and that's happening December the 11th. That's all of the student radio stations, which is BFM, Radioactive, Dunedin, which is 91 FM, RDU, which is Christchurch, and there's one more, Radioactive, whatever the other one, the one in Palmy. We're all coming together to put on some awards, which is going to celebrate music in New Zealand, basically alternative music. And if you've been playlisted on any of those radio stations, you will be eligible to be nominated. I think there's about 30 awards in total. So you will be eligible to be nominated. And yeah, so I believe the nominations are coming out either this week or next week, I think next week. So I think it's quite exciting. I'm really excited. So it's going to be streamed, and we're getting some really cool sort of content made to make it, because unfortunately we couldn't do it in person. We had to move it to a streaming platform. So we're having kind of some cool content made, and you can listen to it on all of the stations too. So it's going to be broadcast as well.
I will definitely be tuning in.
Oh, awesome. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. And also, for anyone who does not know what PR is, public relations, can you explain to us?
It's quite it's a broad church. So I think it's definitely changing as well. So I think originally a lot of it was basically press releases and pushing out to people that there's been a new release, or there's a new album, or there's a new tour, for example, in music. But actually, I think now a lot more of it's about creating content, and also about socials, and about that kind of more wider marketing and branding kind of messaging. For us, a significant part of it is ensuring that people who come to us and use our services are got onto different radio stations and really expanding their market. So for example, a lot of people who come to us probably have already been previously playlisted on student radio, is then really getting them to that next stage and getting them on RNZ or getting them on different stations to broaden their market. So that kind of is what PR is. It's sort of, I guess it is what it says on the tin, public relations. It's pushing people out to the public and trying to get them a wide market and being seen and heard.
For anyone listening that wants to get in contact with you, how do they do that?
So best email is hello@nakedaccounting.co.nz. Or you can just hit us up on the socials. You can send us a message on Instagram or Facebook if you want. So that's probably the best way to contact us.
Thank you so much for having a chat with me today and coming on the podcast. And I will talk to you soon.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure.
You were listening to The Songwriter's Diary. A special thanks to Robert and Naked Accounting for such an insightful episode. Peace and love, love and light, love, Makuga.